God is making promises, and those promises are sure promises. There's an attitude that comes with that. Amen? There's an attitude of confidence and an attitude of boldness in standing on what God said. Amen? Because the voices of doubt will always come from behind you to try to persuade you to stop. In the book of Genesis, chapter 11, we're introduced to Abraham, his wife, Sarai. At the time, his name is Abram. Sarai, Lot, and Abraham's father, Terah. Terah has three children. One is named Haran. And then we have Abram, and the third one doesn't make a difference. These two make a difference for the story. So a voice comes to Terah and says, leave your homeland. And so the word says in Genesis chapter 11 that Terah, the father of Abraham, took Abraham, Sarai, and his nephew Lot, and they left Ur of the Chaldees where they lived. Now, many times we don't pick up the whole story, and what we do is we catch the fact that in chapter 12, God tells Abraham to get out of your father's house and go to a land that I'm going to show you. Now, the significance of this is that Abraham's father was told to go. And they left, but they only went to a certain place. And they stayed there. And the word stayed is the word dwelt. Dwelt means to set up a permanent place. And so Terah, the father of Abraham, dwelt in a place. And he stayed there. Then God comes to Abraham and says, get ye out of your father's house to a land that I'm going to show you. See, God will continue to tell you and give you instruction on what to go and to continue to move forward. God is not a God of stationary, okay? Pastor Nat used to tell us all the time that God is a God of pioneers, not just settlers. Amen? You got to be a pioneer. You have to have a mentality of continuing to press forward and continue to look what else God has for us. What else does God have for us? So when we're saying, I'm going to see what the Lord has promised me, we need to know God's made you promises, and you should never quit. You should never concede until you see what God has promised you. Never, under no circumstances, do not quit until you see what God has promised you. Amen? That's a Selah moment. Think about it. Think about it. Think about what you have stopped that you know God promised you. That you stopped and dwelt in a land and just said, well, this is good enough. No, it's not good enough. The promise of God is good enough. That's what's good enough for us, is what God has promised us to move fully into the promise of God. Because I'm going to tell you what, we talked about in our last series, we talked about the children of Israel being brought out of slavery, brought across the Red Sea by miraculous means, seeing 10 plagues fall on the Egyptians who had them in bondage, watching those plagues from a distance and seeing that the plagues are falling over there, but they're not falling over here, being told by God to paint the blood of the firstborn lamb over your doorposts, and so that when the spirit of death comes through, it won't touch you. And they watched. They could see the spirit of death going down the street. They observed it, saw it. Then they saw the Egyptians come to them and take gold earrings out of their ears and hand them all their stuff. They left out of Egypt to the Red Sea, realized that they were trapped. They watched Moses raise up his rod, and they watched the waters peel back. They then walked through the Red Sea on dry land as they're seeing water on the sides of them. They watched 1 million of them walk across this river on dry ground, come up on the other side, And when Moses went away to pray, they said, this Moses, something's happened to him. We should go back where we came from. But what about the promised land? 12 spies sent out to spy the land. 10 come back with a bad report. 2 say, we can do it. But what do they say? Oh, the people cried all night long. We should go back. No. Don't stop until you see what God promised you. We have to see what God promised us. There are all kinds of temptations to stop and be comfortable. All kinds of temptations to stop and be comfortable. But you cannot stop whatever God promised you until you see it. God gave us an understanding of the cycle of spiritual growth, that when you grow, in order to grow, God has to take you through a process. He takes you through a process of knowing and seeing things, that you see it, that you know it, you comprehend it with your mind, I see it. But then God takes you from just seeing something to revealing things to you. And he gives you revelation, knowledge, or understanding concerning something, so that what you see with your natural eyes, all of a sudden, you don't just see it like that. You see it in a spiritual dimension. You see God's hand involved in it, and you start discerning that something besides just you walking in a lucky situation is concerned. That you realize I'm walking in the favor of God. That my every step, God has promised me that every place the sole of my foot sets, that land he gives to me. Now you can know that with your mind, but when you know it spiritually, then you start walking a little differently. You start picking the places you want to walk. Because if you think it's just by chance, then whatever you get, you get. But if you understand, he told Joshua, wherever your foot sets, not go step on this spot. No, wherever your foot sets, that land I give to you. See, this is mind changing. We got to change our mentality. We got to change our mind, our thought process. You have to have a different understanding, because the world has taught us to think a certain way. And what we're doing is when we go to the Word, we get challenged to think a new way, a way that's not comfortable, because you have not been grown up in that mentality. You have not been raised to think a certain way. You have not been raised to think that wherever your foot sets, that land is given to you. See, the slaves in bondage could not understand when Joshua was told, wherever your foot goes, that land I give to you. They couldn't understand that. Why? Because that slave mentality still resided. See, when Romans 12 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. When God says that to us, we don't realize how deep the transformation needs to go. We don't understand how deep it has to go. And over in our lives, we're going to get things revealed to us by revelation knowledge that you realize you have to change. You have to act on them. You have to go against them. You have to stand on them or stand against them. So when we say we have a promise that we're standing on, it may not be comfortable standing. See, spiritual warfare is not fighting devils. Ephesians 6 tells us we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, right? So you're not fighting with people. We understand we're not fighting with people. But then we say, oh, that means we're wrestling devils. That's not what it says. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You can't wrestle a principality and power. Having done all to stand, the warfare is to stand. To fight the good fight of faith. You can't get caught up in trying to use, if I teach you how to swim, and I tell you, get in the water and walk, your swimming lesson is over. That will work when the water's ankle deep. It will work when the water's knee deep. It will work when the water's waist deep. But when you get all in, it doesn't work. So when we're talking about having promises that we're standing on, we have to recognize that God is offering a new way for us to do the things that we're called to do, a new way for us to move into the things that God has called us to do, and those ways are not ways that you can do yourself. They're not ways that you can master on your own. You can't go take a 5-hour course and get all the information and come out on the other side knowing what to do. That won't work. You have to be able to operate with the power of God in the flow of the Spirit. You have to be able to operate in the flow of the Spirit. Our series title is called The Flow. And I didn't know how the Holy Spirit was going to introduce that. I had a different way of introducing, but that works just fine. The flow is what flows out of us. The Bible tells us that in Book of John, they're having the Feast of Tabernacles. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles was a Jewish feast in which for 8 days, the Jewish people, all the Jewish males, were required to migrate from where they were and come build a temporary place to live in Jerusalem. And so they had to be in this temporary space for 8 days. And there were a series of celebrations and that go on and what have you. So Jesus is there at the feast, and on the last day of the feast, let me back it up. One of the traditions they had was all of the Jewish men had to go to the Pool of Siloam, and they had to get a silver bowl, and they had to bring water from this Pool of Siloam, and they had to carry it back to their tents, and they had to pour it out. Okay? So every day, day one, go get a bowl of water, bring it back to my tent, pour it out. So for 7 days, all the Jewish males have been going to this pool doing the exact same thing. And on the last day of the feast, Jesus stands up and says, let's pull that one up. Let's pull it up. I want you guys to see it while we're at there. I'm going to change this around a little bit. John 7, verse 37 through 39. Are you with me? Yeah. All right. John 7, verse 37 through 39. Verse 37 says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now, they've been having every day to go get water and pour it out, and then Jesus is going to stand, if any man thirsts, let him come to me. Now, that's bold. When everybody's been dealing with water all week long in Jerusalem in September. Okay? Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. So Jesus is telling them that if you're thirsty, you got to come to me. Real quick, keep your finger there in John, but turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5 real quick. Matthew 5. Keep your finger there. We're going to bounce around a little bit. Matthew 5 is Jesus speaking what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he's giving what's called, people refer to as the Beatitudes. So Matthew chapter 5, when you get there, tell your neighbor, I study my Bible, I'm there. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed or favored are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, in this passage, he's talking about hunger and thirst. In John, he says, if anyone thirsts. I want to get some understanding here. When it comes to hunger, we desire the meat of the word. So your hunger for righteousness, what you're hungry for, when you recognize there's a hunger in your life, the hunger is for the word. The word starts to establish righteousness in us. It starts to get into us, and the word becomes fuel because it's what we're eating. We're consuming the word. It is fuel to you. The word becomes what you begin to operate from. It becomes that part of you that, like human food. Now, we have a celebration today. We're going to have a celebration. We're all going to eat together back here, right? When you get hungry, you have a certain sense that comes over you that you're hungry. It's your body saying, I need fuel. This thing won't run unless I get some fuel. So when we're hungry for righteousness, there's a spiritual hunger that comes over us that is a desire to be filled with righteousness from the perspective of being fueled. So the word becomes our fuel for spiritual growth. It becomes what we put in ourselves in order to move forward and to operate. When we're thirsty, there's a different sensation. See, you have to have food. You can only go a certain amount of days without food. But water is more important. Because you can go 40 days without food, but 40 days without water and your system starts shutting down. Why? Because water is not fuel. Water is your substance. Water's what you are. The innermost part of you has to have water. You have to have water inside your microscopic cells. There has to be water in you because that water is what allows your cells to have life. Water is more essential than your food. You need both. And if you don't have both, something's going to happen to you. But water is that most essential part. So when Jesus said, if any man thirst, now let's go back to John. If any man thirst, let him come to me. Jesus, what kind of boldness is this for Jesus to say, if you're thirsty, don't go to the well, come to me. Once again, Jesus is telling people stuff they can't understand. You can't understand until you get revelation knowledge. Revelation understanding. So let's look at this and let's get down into where we want to get here. The word feeds our hunger. The spirit feeds our thirst. We're going to verse 39. Actually, let's go verse 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Holy Spirit was a promise that was given, that you would receive the Holy Spirit, that the water of the word or the water of life was going to come to us. Jesus was going to give us water. He was talking about the Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come. Now he told the disciples later on, he told them that go and tarry in Jerusalem, wait for the promise of my Father. There's a promise coming. What is it? It is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll be like water to you. He'll be that which nourishes you at the deepest part of you. So out of your belly, out of your innermost man, shall flow rivers of living water. Why? This water's going to come on you and the water won't remain in you. The water will flow out of you. See, God's desire for us is to be saturated, hydrated in such a way that the water begins to pour out of us, that we become conduits of water. We become those that not only have the water in us to help us, but we become so filled that we begin to pour over into the rest of the world. Now, Jesus said this, but Ezekiel prophesied about it. Ezekiel prophesied it in Ezekiel 47. So let's go to Ezekiel 47 real quick. I want you to really get this. I want you to just really think about what I'm telling you today. Are you with me still? This is essential stuff here. Essential stuff. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. Now let me give you a little description of what's going on here. Beginning Ezekiel chapter 40, God comes to Ezekiel and takes him off into a vision. The vision that he begins in chapter 40 is a vision of the temple. And he starts describing what the temple of the future is going to look like. And so he starts prophesying and giving him information. And so right here in 47, he's now seen the temple in all of its glory, how it's built. And then he starts telling him something. Verse 1, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around to the outside of the outer gate that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. Okay, the book of 1 Corinthians tells us this, chapter 3. Know ye not that you are the temple of the living God, and that the Spirit dwells on the inside of you. So Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us, and we are the temple. Now what Ezekiel saw in this vision was not a physical temple. What Ezekiel saw in this vision was you. He saw you being filled with the Holy Spirit and water running out from under your thresholds. He saw the water of life coming out of you. Jesus said, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of him, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. And like I said, water is so essential because water is what makes you. Water is that thing that creates. It is that power. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and it was void. There was nothing there. Darkness hovered over the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. Wait a minute. If nothing's there, why is there water there? Why is there water there before God created the earth? Oh, man, this revelation. I'll wait for y'all to get that because, man. Why is there water already there if there's no earth to contain it? Because it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit. The Spirit existed before the world began. Before the world was there, the Spirit was there. The water, the life of the Spirit was already active. It was already there before God said, let there be light. The Spirit of God created. Let's go. All right, come on. All right, 47. Let's go. Let's go to the next verse. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Then he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Verse 5. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. See, God was seeing us ankle deep. So there's a season when you get filled with the Holy Spirit that what's coming out of you is ankle deep. Amen? Because see, you're not the one walking in the river. People around you walking in the river that's coming out of you. There's a season where it's ankle deep. And they step in. I say, oh, there's water down there. And they keep on walking. And then there's a season where you grow and more water's coming out of you. More life is coming out of you. And it gets knee deep. And people go, oh, that's deep. There's water out here. Man, ooh, wow, okay. That's nice. But then they can walk out of it. Then there's a season where it gets waist deep, and what's coming out of you becomes deeper and deeper and deeper, and now it's waist deep, and people experiencing you. People experiencing you are in the middle, waist deep in the water. And there's going to come a day when you and the Lord draw so near together that when people get around you, it's over their heads. What's coming out of you becomes so significant and so deep. Now, deep doesn't mean that you talk and nobody understands what you're saying. I'm not talking about that kind of deep. I'm not talking about white, you know, white robe and sandal deep. I'm not talking about that kind of deep. I'm talking about the depth of what comes out of you becomes so saturated with the life-giving water that it brings life wherever it goes. Wherever it goes, it brings life. Look at the next verse. Let's go to verse 6. Remember, he's saying this prophetically. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. So now I've been in, he's been in the water. Now he takes him on the side of the river. I want you to step to the side and look at this from a different perspective. See, when you're in the water, you can't really see what's going on. You got to come to the bank and really pay attention. When I returned there along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed." Next verse. "And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "The water in me brings healing wherever it goes." The water in us. Jesus said, "If you thirst, come to me and I will give you water, living water." The woman at the well is going down to get water, and there's Jesus sitting next to the well. And she says, well, he says, "Woman, give me some water." And she said, "How are you being a Jew going to speak to me as a Samaritan and a woman?" He said, "If you knew who was asking you, you would have asked me for water, and I would have given you living water." See, this it's something that runs through the scriptures. It's a truth about the Holy Spirit that runs through the scriptures, that the Holy Spirit is not given for feelings and emotion. The Holy Spirit is given to bring life. And people are arguing, "Do you speak in tongues? Do you not speak in tongues? Do you believe in the gifts? Do you not believe in the gifts?" Forget that. Do you believe in living water? Do you believe in living water that flows and brings healing? See, we want to go back to the Old Testament and we want to say, "If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll heal the land." That was not the context in which that said. In the New Testament, Jesus is saying, "How I heal the land is rivers of living water flowing out of my people." Are y'all with me? Rivers of living water flowing out of us. When you walk into a room as one who is full of the living water, people sense that something's there. They sense that something's there. They want to tell you how special you are. Why? Because they've sensed that there's water in the room. If you take a bottle of water and you put it on the ground, insects that are seeking water will sense that there's water in the bottle through the bottle. If they're looking for water, they will know that there's water inside the bottle. They'll pick up on it. Well, I can't pick up on it, but that's you. Insects can pick up on it. You actually can pick up on it as well. But you pick up on the water that's significant to you. You pick up on living water when it's in around you. So you have a sense in you that knows that there's living water somewhere. And you're drawn to it. Why? Because it's the same water that's in you. You're attracted to that water. See, the flow of the Holy Spirit starts to bring life. Let's go to the next verse here. It shall be that the fishermen will stand by it from Engedi to Engleam, and they will pass, and they will be places for spreading their nets. The fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many, but its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. See, as long as the river is flowing, there will be healing. When you start living in the marsh, it gets salty. When you stop growing, when you stop allowing the Spirit to continue to refresh you, when you stop allowing the Lord to continue to speak to you, you start to stagnate and you become a marsh and a swamp. And the flow isn't there. Rivers of living water flowing out of us, causing things to happen around us. Let's look at the last verse in this sequence here. Verse 12. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their waters flow from where? Where's the sanctuary? You're the temple. You're the sanctuary. See, when you get into the flow, where you get really to not the emotion of the Holy Spirit, but when you get into the substance of the Holy Spirit and you start to press into that, what starts coming out of you is provision for other people around you. See, God's not just calling us to meet our own needs. God's calling us to grow and to develop and to expand and to bring life so that it starts to bring harvest all around us. But it's a change in mentality, because as long as we're still thinking that our jobs are our source, and we're still thinking that we have a limitation, that $100,000 is a magic line, as long as we're thinking different things along those lines, we start thinking that I can only be well until I hit this age and then all these other diseases have to come upon me. If you have that mentality, then that is what we will have. But if you believe on Him, as the scripture has said, then out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water that bring life all around. But you have to have a mind change first. We have to have our mentality change. We have to be challenged to think differently. We have to be challenged that the world is not the dominator, that we have been sent to dominate the world. It's a change of thought process. It's a change of how we operate. And if you operate under the old paradigm, then you get what the world has offered that you will have. But we have to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we understand, I got an attitude because I have living water flowing out of me. And not a bad attitude. Attitude is not a bad thing. But there's an attitude that you must possess, that you know that you have water flowing out of you. You know that you bring life. When you walk into an environment, you have to know that you bring life to the environment. When you walk into a new situation, you have to assess the situation, not with the eyes everybody else has, but with the eyes of the Spirit, and say, ah, yes, okay, Lord, show me how to let the water flow. Show me how to turn the water on. Show me how to let this flow. Show me how to be in position to move and let the living water flow out of me. Because everybody in your presence is going to grow because of you. Everybody in our presence grows because of us. But not me, the treasure inside me. This water-producing treasure inside of me. I've started working for a water organization, and all of a sudden, I got new revelation about water. I got a new revelation about water. I got a whole new understanding about water. Why? Because everywhere you go, God will reveal things to you. And when he reveals it, you need to understand it's for a purpose, it's for a reason. God's not wasting revelation. God's bringing revelation in order to give us new understanding. And when you have revelation, it's our responsibility to apply that revelation to our lives. How long? You stand on it till you see it. Till manifestation happens, till you see it. That's how long you stand on it. You continue to stand on what God reveals to you. Know ye not that you are the temple and that the Spirit of God lives inside you? Let's go back to Ezekiel 47 and 9. There will be a very great multitude of fish. Let me read it from another version. Verse 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, whether the river, wherever the river goes, will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they'll be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Verse 8, then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. Where it reaches the sea, the waters are healed. Let me make this point. Wherever water goes, it brings life. So even if water goes to a desert place, it brings life. If you take water to the desert, it still brings life. So sometimes we don't want to go to deserted places. We don't want to go to that place where nobody else wants to go. We don't want to go there because it's oh man, it's bad, it's this, whatever. We don't want to go to those places. God says, I got life. And so what God will do, okay. What God will do is God will do what he did in Genesis 1. He will bring the Holy Spirit to hover over the chaos and over the waters, and he will say, let there be light, and God will start creating a garden in that place. God creates gardens where he goes. And he gives us the authority and the power to create a garden wherever we go. I don't even know how to say what's in my head, so I'm gonna rest it right here. Don't wait for life to come to you. Take the life where you go. Don't wait for life to come. Bring the life. Bring the water. Bring the Holy Spirit to the environment. Bring the Holy Spirit into wherever it is that we're called to plant. We're called to bring forth harvest. We're called to bring life to a situation. God is creating, Tammy said it, God's creating an army, but it's not an army that fights with weapons. It's an army that fights with faith. And faith is what will allow you to go into a deserted place and say, praise the Lord, God is making a garden here. God's making a garden in this place. Praise the Lord. God's, oh yes, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord for this new garden he's planted. And to begin to let the water flow out of you so that you fuel the garden. You fuel it. Your house is an Eden because you're there. Now, something might be trying to drop some weeds into your Eden, but you can cut that off because you're the garden maker. You're the garden creator. You have the authority and the power to create the garden wherever you go. That's why the Holy Spirit was there and there was water before God created the world, because it represents the Spirit, it represents the life, it represents what he was going to pour into the world to cause the world to flourish and to grow. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Now, real quick, I'm going to go back to John chapter 37, John 7 and 37 real quick, and I'm going to read this to you again, and I want you to listen to the passage in the context of what we have just talked about. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, his innermost man, will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Who would receive it? Those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus has been glorified and the Spirit has been given. You guys got a bottle of water back there? There's one up here. There we go. We're going to close with this. I got this bottle of water, right? I'm thirsty right now. As long as this cap is on this bottle, no matter how thirsty I am, can't get to it. As long as this cap is on this bottle, the water's in there. And I can sit here for 40 days. I'm going to sit on the ground. Me and this bottle going to sit here until I get till my thirst is quenched. I'm going to sit right here. Me and this bottle. I can sit here for 40 days until every system in my body starts to shut down, staring at this bottle with the cap on it. And there's water right there. I'm thirsty as I can be. Nothing's going to change as long as me and this bottle are separated. You got to drink. You got to get alone, away from everybody else, and take time with the Holy Spirit and let him saturate you. Drink of him. Just get your time of worship alone. When we come into worship, don't wait for them to drink. You drink. You come in and just worship and drink and let the Holy Spirit fill you. Let the Holy Spirit pour over you. Let him fill you, because when he does, then you walk out of here with life. Two people sitting next to each other in the same place. One is drinking up, other one's sitting there looking, and what happens? They go out the door, one has got water pouring out of them, the other one's saying, "Man, what happened?" The degree of the water pouring out of us is going to be the degree of the water going into us. You can be ankle deep. You can be knee deep. Waist deep. All right. Or you can get all in. Whichever one you want. It's up to you. You can get all in if you want to. All it requires is letting the Holy Spirit move on the inside. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. We thank you for living water. We thank you for the flow. We thank you that as we open ourselves to your word, you speak to us. You saturate us with understanding. We thank you that your word is giving us meat to eat. And your spirit is giving us life. Thank you for the rivers of living water pouring out of everyone here today. I thank you if anyone is thirsty in this place today, or that you would sense that thirst, pour out your spirit over them. Pour out your spirit into them. Pour out your spirit and allow us to be filled to the overflow, that we might be those that water pours under our thresholds and begins to saturate the environment in which we're in. We thank you, Lord God, that as we are filled, Lord, that trees are growing around us, that fruit is being produced all around us. Lord, that we will feed the nations and we will feed those that are hungry and those that are destitute and those that are struggling. We will feed with the water that flows out of us. We thank you, Lord God, as that the water comes out, it will produce. It will cause creativity to flow. It will create new things. It will build new things. It will cause the riverbanks to overflow. And we thank you for it right now. We give you glory for your Spirit touching everyone in this room. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit touch and bring forth a spirit of wisdom, of knowledge, of understanding, of might, of fear of the Lord, and discernment. We thank you for all these things being ours as your Spirit moves. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you're here today and you have never given your life to the Lord, or you have been struggling with your faith in some way,